Trinity, it was not without some pain and suffering, but with definitely with some insight. So let me just show you a very short clip of what they did and why, and then we'll talk to them.
Nearly 800 million people do not have enough to eat. Every day, nearly 8,000 kids die from hunger-related causes. In sub-Saharan Africa, about 1 in 4 people are undernourished, meaning they are hungry or not getting enough of the right kinds of food. Here, 1 in 12 children will not survive to their 5th birthday. Barely more than a day. In that short time, global hunger won't disappear. But if we answer God's call, if we take the first step, nothing will slow us down. Think about what you can accomplish in 30 hours. When you choose to inspire action in everyone around you, you become part of something bigger than yourself. We won't end global hunger overnight, but when you do the 30-hour famine, you are joining with thousands of young people around the world who are working for a hunger-free world. Now is the time to make a difference. Raise funds, save lives, feed your faith. A hunger-free world is possible. It begins with each one of us.
And so for, is this the third year? Second year?
Third? Well, third year in the history of Catalyst, or I guess you threw back
on
that.
But, awesome.
First year with
Yeah. Hey, let's have some of the, hey, Ames, why don't you come up? And first, everybody did, you guys that did it, come on up. We're not going to put you on the spot or embarrass you or anything like that. And I mean that. We're just, unless you want to do a dance or something.
Yeah. I don't think you're ready for that.
Yeah. Here, why don't I give you this?
Yeah.
And then walk us through the process a little bit and what happened, some of the highlights. I know there was at least one absolutely amazing thing that happened, along with a lot of other things, but
So. But wait, there's more. So this year we were blessed enough, fortunate enough to be able to team up with the youth group from Church on the Rock,
over the fence.
We were able to team up with their youth group. Every year since I believe 2008, they have been doing 30-hour famine. For those of you that don't know, 30-hour famine is an event hosted by World Vision, an organization that helps to fight world hunger for those in desperate poverty and that face severe hunger needs. And so this was our first year as the Catalyst youth group to participate in that event. Where's Evelyn? We have another one running around somewhere. She also participated with us, and a few others that aren't here. So total from Hillside, there were 7 of us that teamed up with the EDGE youth group. And for 30 hours, we fasted from food and from media. So no cell phone, no TV, no devices. And we experienced a little bit of what it was like to feel hungry. Mm-hmm. What was it like to feel the hunger pains, the headaches, the tiredness from what it's like to go without something? And we also were able to, through this experience what it's like to hunger for God. What is it like to finally encounter Him? And through faith-building exercises and games and activities, we were able to identify with our brothers and sisters around the world. So with that, I want to introduce you to our team that helped participate, and then after that I'll have one of my students come up and answer a few questions. That way you can get a better feel for what 30-hour famine was like.
Hello, I'm Cindy, and I was very fortunate to be able to participate in this. I think my favorite part of the whole process was as we got split up into different discussion groups after the activities where we walked through like what it would be like to make those tough decisions, whether like to eat for the day or whether to go off as a 13-year-old girl and find a job. And we kind of went through these kind of difficult games and exercises together. And as we did the discussions, I loved that we were split up into groups with people we didn't know from the other church how willing and open everyone was. Like, everyone just opened up their hearts, just, we're doing this together. It was a team. And I am so, so, so proud of all the youth that were there. I didn't hear any complaints about, you know, being too hungry to participate or, oh man, I wish I had my cell phone right now. It was just everyone working together for this cause, and I got to see people's compassion muscles get exercised and stretched. And as the time that we had together went on, it was amazing to see especially our youth have more and more compassion for kids in other countries who don't have enough to eat on a daily basis. And I didn't see them become more self-centered. I saw them starting to look outwards from themselves. I think that was the most amazing part.
Thanks, Cindy. You took mine. No, but yes, all the different kind of games that we had to go through, all the struggles, the decisions that we had to make, that really was an impact on my life, because I really didn't know. This was my first 30-hour famine, and I was really glad to be in it and to be able to... to be in with 30, with Church on the Rock, and the struggles, they were really hard, but you know, no food, no cell phone. Oh, dang it, Facebook. No. But I don't really use Facebook, by the way. Snapchat. Okay.
No snap. 30 hours with no Snapchat.
I know.
That is sacrifice right there.
Stories. No. But yeah. So it was one thing that I got out of it was just all the struggles that people have to go through. We play this game, and we had to like take resources from like the other team, and. And I just felt like God was telling me, like, yes, there are struggles in life, but I'm going to help you through that every step of the way. So, yeah, thank you.
Wow. Okay, so during 30-hour famine, we did not eat for 30 hours. It was very hard. I slept for, like, most of the day because I couldn't bear it. It was really hard.
Evelyn came sick. She did not want to miss it. She and I got the same thing, I think, whatever got this going on in our head. I'm proud of you, sweetie. That's awesome.
And one of the games that were really frustrating and really confusing was we had to, there was middle. We all stood in the middle, and it read like a little story. And then we would have to make a choice. We have to go to the side of the room. And we would have to say why we're over there and why, you know, she should stay, leave, or any of this, and it would lead to another problem or another solution. And so during the game, we lost her father, but we got them the 30-hour famine. So, not 30, yeah, 30-hour famine. So that was good. And, but yeah, most of the time, I just slept.
So as you see, I'd put Evelyn in front of me because I'm trying to, like, not do this. But anyways, that's all right. It was an awesome experience, not only just for the kids, as I could see just how much they got out of it, but for also the leaders. I think the most awesome part about it was partnering with a fellow church for the body to come together. You know, we're here in one church building, but they're over there on Sundays as well, worshiping the same God. Mm-hmm. And for us all to come together and just see the kids interact with each other with so much love, it was really awesome. And a byproduct of that, Jesus says, they will know us by our love for one another. And one of the most the most incredible thing about that whole experience, Vidi's friend Christian was saved yesterday. So
yeah
praise awesome. God for that.
What's so cool is, and you may be going to share this, but how they broke the famine, you know, obviously they got to eat something first, was with communion. And that really is what led him to really have a conversation like, hey, do I really know? You know, some of us have been brought up in a background or a church or whatever denomination, perhaps, where there's certain things you have to do to be able to have communion, do communion, maybe be baptized or whatever. Some of you, you know, can relate to that. And but then when they were sharing that, hey, it's, you know, us knowing that we have accepted Jesus, and then that conversation about communion led him to accept Christ. And I just, you know, that's the best, you know. I mean, that was awesome. So
that was awesome. All right. So if I could have everyone except for Vidi sit down, and then if we could pull up a couple of stools, I want to ask her a few questions.
Oh, yeah,
just
yeah.
Kind of get a better
hot seat.
Yeah, hot seat. So interrogation, more like I like it.
You know, what I'm proud of them for doing, and I came to youth group Thursday night, was the fact that, you know, the purpose of a fast, if you ever how many of you would find it difficult to go 30 hours without coffee? Anybody? Right? Right? Give you all your meals, use your cell phone, 30 hours without coffee. I mean, right? Some of you would say you do not want to see what that looks like. But, you know, a purpose of a fast, and some of you are going through, I don't want to say it's a forced fast, but maybe you're going through a time of loneliness, a time of difficulty, a time maybe it's a job situation, maybe, you know, where you feel like I am lacking. And whether it be lacking of food or media, Kyler and I both agree, take the food away, just don't take my computer away, right? But so we'd have the shakes, you know. But honestly, you know, the purpose for a fast is not only just that we raise money and raise awareness, but there's spiritual things that God does in our life, and you know, you've already alluded to that. So yeah, so why don't you guys, yeah, talk about this a little
bit.
All
right, so in 30-hour famine, of course we fasted for 30 hours, but during that time, there were also a lot of different types of activities and things planned for the students to help keep them busy for the 30 hours so that they wouldn't just be thinking about food the whole time. In these exercises, it was really an invitation for the students to be able to see something and be a part of something bigger than themselves, outside of what they're feeling, to be able to identify and feel empathy and sympathy for those around the world. Something that I found really encouraging about what we did in 30-hour famine, that event, was the fact that we were not only able to impact the lives of those around the world, but also even in our local community, in working with the local church, in doing service projects, whether it was for Hillside or for Church on the Rock or for the homeless people down the street. It was really impactful being able to do that. So as we transition now into the questions I have for Vidi, the first question I have is, what is your sparkle and what is your farkle? For those of you who aren't unaware of sparkle and farkle, it's basically what is the high point of 30-hour famine, the highlight, and the farkle, I'm pretty sure you can kind of guess what that is. So, Vidi. Okay.
So, let's start off with my farkle. My farkle was, we were making care packages for the homeless people, you know, people that you see on the streets, and we first, you know, we made them, and then we came over here to Hillside to clean all the toys of the nursery and toddler's room, and we just cleaned, like, the whole room. So there were, like, lots of toys, and they were really dirty. Really dirty. So, I mean, I'm glad that we did that, because we were doing that, we had to be at Church on the Rock at 1. And we left here at like 1:05. So we didn't have enough time to pass out the care packages. And my sparkle was meeting just new people, getting to know them, because I felt during those 30 hours, I felt like I know them like from forever. and it was only just like 30 hours. So, yeah.
All right. What would you say was the most challenging part of 30-hour famine?
The most challenging part was, well, the game that I was talking about, the struggles in life that we had, you know, having to grab the resources from the other team, just God putting that in my heart about like all these people that that I knew about them, but I didn't really like do anything about it until like this the 30-hour famine. So that was
what made it possible for you to go 30 hours fasting from food and from media. I mean, it was definitely a challenge. I think for a lot of us that participated in it, it was the challenge of feeling the hunger pains, feeling the tiredness, not getting a good night's sleep, and some of those things were really hard to overcome. So in that perspective, what made it possible for you to push through the 30 hours?
Well, ultimately, God helped me get through that struggle. He gave me the strength to overcome it from the 30 hours. And also just being like, you know, communicating with just people, it made me like forget about like being hungry, because I don't know about you guys, but for me, when I'm like with people hanging out or something, I just forget about eating. So so that was like a good thing.
All right, and lastly, any other thoughts, feelings? What do you take away from this experience? What were you most encouraged by?
What I was most encouraged by was my friend Christian getting saved, because I've known him since like seventh grade, and I never seen him like this. At the end of worship time, going to like breaking the 30-hour fast, he was like crying a lot, and then I was like, you know, what's wrong? And then Amy came, and then just to see him like that and to accept Christ into his life, falling in love with him, I was just glad that I was able to be there with him. And I'm hoping to just be with him through his path to Christ. Thank you.
So thank you for your prayers, for your support for 30-hour famine. It's definitely been very encouraging for us to see two bodies, even though we are in two separate church buildings, us at Hillside and Church on the Rock, to see us come together as one community for a cause. And ultimately that cause is the gospel. You know, this organization, it fights world hunger, but it also serves to share Christ with those around us. And the fact that not only are we sharing Christ with people around the world, but just our friends that we invite to an event. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. In total with Church on the Rock fundraised, there was a total of $3,500. Praise God. And so thank you for your encouraging words. On the bulletin board in the foyer, you'll see a poster with some pictures and the certificates of completion that the students earned after the 30-hour famine. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Awesome. Thank you. Thank these ladies again. Thank you for being brave. I know what some of you are thinking, because I'm old too. Like, wow, those young people, they can really do a lot of stuff, can't they? And, you know, no matter how old we are, how young we are, you know, God has something for us to do. Now, some of you say, you know, I've got a medical condition. I couldn't even go 30 hours. The idea is for us to be able to look at what God has given us, and that ability, and to be usable, useful. That's kind of what we've been seeing, that you know, Jesus did say, they'll know we're Christians by our love. And it's not, he didn't say, you know, by what you'll believe, by your theology, or even by the way you show, you know, you how much you love God. It was our love for each other and that pouring out. So I want us to be able to really take a look and say, what is it that I can do? Now, somebody who's a new friend to me, I've only known, well, what, a few months, I guess. But a good friend of Chris's and Michael, some of the younger people, is a young man by the name of Tyler Paris, who's going to kind of share with us how he's taking what God's given him, and he's going to be using it. Now, some of you who served in the military, this is going to be something, especially if you had to bring your family with you. This is going to be something that's going to tug on your heart, and a ministry that will really touch you. So, hey, Tyler, why don't you come? Let's welcome Tyler Paris to share what God's doing and how we at Hillsight can be a part of it. Yeah, you want to come down? Yeah, yeah. My stage level is about your floor level. That's not even fair, my friend.
Right. Good morning. To tell you about it, and I'm super excited. I'll just give you a little bit of my story to start off. Back in February 2015, I was on a mission trip. As part of my youth ministry program, which is my major at Multnomah, they go on a trip, a week-long mission trip every February. So last year, I decided, why not check it out? So we went to Okinawa, Japan, and we were going to be serving for a little bit on the airbase there. And then we were running a middle school retreat for the military kids who are in middle school. So these kids are the families who are stationed overseas. And I remember getting off the plane and walking outside just exhausted. This is in Okinawa. Just exhausted after a 17-hour flight schedule. And I remember looking around outside. It was nighttime, very humid. And just something was stirring in me. And I believe it was the Holy Spirit just telling me, you're coming back here. And I knew I was coming back. I just immediately knew. And so over the week, God reassured my calling and gave me more and more of his heart for the military, for these kids, and for this island. And it was incredible. I remember during the retreat one morning during one of our morning chapels, they were asking some of the students, how many times have you moved? And this one girl who's in eighth grade said 15 times. And I didn't know what to do with that. Like, what do you do with that? What do you say? Do you just go up and give her a hug? I don't know. And I remember my heart just broke, because I moved a lot as a kid, but nothing like 15 times. And these kids are moving every year to 2 years to 3 years. A friend is someone who's leaving the next year. They never keep a best friend. It's very difficult. I'll just tell you a little bit about what I was doing. I interned for 3 months that following summer. So I was really late in the application process, because the trip was mid-February. The application process ended mid-January, so I was about a month late, but I figured, what the heck, I'm going to try. When I got back to the States, I worked hard, and I filled out everything I needed to fill out, made calls. And there's about a few weeks left before I actually was going to head out to the mission field. I didn't really have the funds. But the church I was at the time in Washington, this lady comes up to me. She hands me a check for $5,000, says, here you go. So I took that as God saying, yes, this is what I want you to do. Now go do it. So he provided, and that's what he does. So I made it back out to Okinawa, and I spent 3 months there. So 3 months, this is what it pretty much consisted of, and this is what it will continue to look like when I'm down there. I co-hosted with two other interns on two other bases. So Camp Foster is the Marine base, Camp Courtney is the Navy base, and Kadena Air Base, the one I was on, that's the Air Force base. Those are the only three bases on the island that we have youth ministries on. So I would co-host joint base events. There's five of them. They're called Adventure Days. So what we do is we take the students, middle and high school, from each base, and we go out to the island and we do something fun. Now the whole point of this is to create space for the gospel, to create space to dive deep with these students. Every fun thing has a purpose. Everything we did had a purpose. Is there one? Oh, thanks. Sorry, I was good. Dehydrated when I speak. 1 second. So every fun thing had a purpose. And then every summer we run two VBSs, so I helped co-lead a VBS for the first through fifth graders, and it was really awesome. There was a time where I was on the island by myself with the other volunteers for 3 weeks, because every 5 years, every Cadence missionary from all over the world, they go to Wisconsin for a conference. That's every 5 years. So I had to run the youth ministry by myself for 3 weeks with the few volunteers that I had. And that consisted of preaching, leading small groups, leading adventure days, different activities. I had a lot of one-on-ones. What I loved about my internship was that I was able to see students six days out of the week. And it was incredible, because you just don't get that in the States. At least I didn't when I was volunteering at different youth groups. But I was discipling these kids. I was living a life with them. And I got to see them way more than I ever expected. And God was just on the move. So aside from all the preaching and teaching and just filling them with knowledge, it comes down to just living life with them. Just live life with these students. They want someone who is real and someone who is genuine. And it was a privilege and honor to work with the military. Words just can't express how grateful I am to be able to do that and how ready I am to go back. So I just want to share a few stories of some students who I saw just enormous growth in. The first one was Ethan. He's a 12-year-old middle schooler. And he came to me one day and said, Tyler, I said, yeah, what's up? I'm not hearing from the Lord. Like, what do I do? He feels so distant. I feel like I don't have a relationship with him anymore. What do I do? So I remember we met. We talked for about a good hour. And then 2 days later, I tracked him down. I said, hey, how's it going? Have you heard from the Lord yet? He said, yeah, I got to tell you about it. So we met up, and he told me that he was reading through the book of Matthew, and he just read what he needed to read, and God immediately spoke to him, and he felt like he was back in relationship with God. He's a believer, so obviously he was in relationship, but he was just having struggles. But it only took 2 days for God to do something like that, for God to speak to him, and he heard him clearly. Another guy, Hunter, he's a high schooler with great leadership potential. Through our time there, I really got to dive deep with him, and he opened up about a lot of struggles that I didn't think he had. And we would go through the book of Romans every week. We would read a chapter and just dissect it. And then we'd hang out. I would take him to Chili's on base. And we would just live life together. I saw just tons of growth in him. And then these two other high schoolers, their brothers, Kevin and Andrew, they're basketball fanatics. I'm a basketball fanatic. I played for 3 years at Multnomah. It's just my sport. So it was just easy to connect with them through basketball. But every Thursday, we'd go to the gym on base and we'd play. And it didn't even take me, you know, saying, hey, do you know Jesus? Which is great, which is what we need to do. But I was just living life with him and saying, hey, you should come check out the ministry. So eventually he checked out the ministry, both of them, and they were there the night where we shared the gospel message, and they heard it. I don't know if they believed, but they heard it, and they kept coming back to the youth group consistently. But that's just what it was, just living life with these students, seeing them 5-6 days out of the week. It was awesome. And then the last one, his name is Carter. He's another high schooler. I remember the first question I asked him, I said, when was the last time you read your Bible? I just asked it. He was a guy in my small group. And he said, I don't remember when, to be honest. So I said, what if we get together and just read through John every week? Do you want to do that? And his face just lit up and said, absolutely. And if his face lights up like that, it tells me that no one has really pursued him like that before. I mean, if you're moving every year, it's going to be hard to make connections. So we got to reading, and then I said, how's it going? Are you reading on your own? Are you having this quiet time with the Lord? He said, yeah, like I'm not watching TV anymore. I'm actually delighting in reading the Word. I'm actually delighting in God. It was just a huge, huge victory. It was crazy to see. I felt a little embarrassed. I didn't know God could move that fast, and he was moving fast all the time. And I just wonder, what would happen if I stayed there for 3 more months or 6 more months? How much more would I see? These kids must be reached with the gospel. To me, they're a seemingly forgotten people group. When you think of the military, you don't really think of the kids. You don't really think of the 1st through 5th graders, the 6th through 12th graders. These are all the kids of the military families who are stationed overseas. There's no outlet for them. Because in the States, I mean, you can probably go down any street and find a good youth group. There's good English-speaking churches all around. Especially in Okinawa, it's kind of hard to find an English-speaking church. And on base, there is no youth ministry aside from Cadence. So that's where we come in, and we provide an outlet for them. Because there's really nothing that focuses them on Christ or just focuses on them. To a lot of these kids, we are their only lifeline to get them to Christ. For most of them, they live on base and they're locked on base. Like it's hard to get off. There's not much to do. So we provide this youth ministry. We say, hey, come hang out. Let's have some fun. And we just live life with them, like I said. We show them Christ. You never ask them the question where they're from. It's kind of insulting because they're not from anywhere. If you're moving every year, you don't have a home. So you never ask them that question. But they do ask the question, what good is it? What good is it if I'm always moving? What good is it to have a best friend if I'm going to be moving? What good is it to get involved in sports if I'm going to leave the next year? What good is any of this? Where is God in all of this? And that's what they're asking all the time. And they face completely different struggles than just your average American kid faces. Over summer, we had a week called Goodbye Week. Students are PCSing all the time, which means permanent change of status. So instead of saying goodbye, you know, every month or so often, we just take 1 week, it's called Goodbye Week. We say all our goodbyes in that week. I've never seen so many tears before in my life. It was one of the hardest things I had to go through. And when I go back, I'll be having that week every year. It's going to be one of the hardest weeks of my life. But I heard the phrase, I wish I had more time, more often than I can count. And I remember my last day there, I said, I wish I had more time. Like, I found myself saying that. I'm excited to serve the military because they're serving us. We, as a mission organization, as just believers, we provide comfort to the military families who are stationed overseas. We provide comfort to the soldiers who have to leave their kids when they go overseas, when they go on missions. A lot of the families have to leave their kids a lot because they go on different calls. But they need Christ. These kids need Christ. They are a people group that needs to hear. And I love this mission agency. I love the possibilities, because I see each base of the ministry as a breeding ground for missionaries. Because if you think about it, they're leaving every year, 2 years and whatnot, and they're going to different continents and different countries. If these kids are discipled, if they're trained, if they're equipped, imagine what's going to happen. They're going to make more disciples. I feel like they're literally fulfilling the Great Commission. Go out into all the earth and make disciples. It's just crazy, the possibilities of that. So to end it, I want to show a video. It's about 5 minutes, and it's just going to give you a little background on what Cadence Student Ministries is and where we're coming from, why we do what we do. So thank you. Thank you.
In the last decade since 9/11, the American awareness of our soldiers, airmen, sailors, Marines, living overseas, going to war, and their sacrifice and their service to our country has become much broader. There's lots of attention for wounded warriors, there's lots of opportunities to support the USO and the Red Cross. Lots of churches have bulletin boards up with who's gone from their congregation to serve our country overseas. But how often do you hear about the families that go with those men and women?
It really is a hidden group, an overlooked group.
In the American Armed Forces, there are over 1.2 million kids who have become part of our military service because their parents have chosen to serve. And how often do we hear about those kids? How often do we think about them? How often do we go, are they getting a VBS or are they getting a youth group?
The younger children are often forgotten.
The forgotten people.
The multitudes from every tribe, tongue, and nation will be seated at the foot of the throne singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." That's Christ exalted in the nations through the lives of transformed military students. That's the vision of Cadence Student Ministries.
Your love has captured me. Oh my God, this love, how can it be?
Sharing the gospel.
And our lives.
And our lives.
Sharing the gospel and our lives.
It's not a program, it's not a 12-step thing, but it's just life on life.
Equipping the willing.
Equipping the willing.
We need people that are willing for the program not to be about them. That they're gonna empower these kids to do the ministry. Yeah. That they're gonna get out of the way. They can paint the vision, they share the love, but then they get out of the way and they let these kids do what God's equipped them to do, what God's called them to do.
Engaging the culture.
And engaging the culture.
Taking that gospel and engaging the culture with it.
As a pastor, one of the things I appreciate about Cadence Student Ministry is the fact that they come trained. They're trained not just working with youth, but they're trained to work with military youth. If there was no Cadence Student Ministries, these same kids would find something to do, but it wouldn't be a good thing.
I would probably be hanging around high schoolers who drink or smoke or something like that.
One of the things I struggle with is doubt. I don't have that fire as much in my faith.
Being a military kid, I go through completely different things than ordinary kids. Most kids, college is their new chapter in life, whereas I'm having to have a new chapter in life every 3 years. I've had that ever since I was born.
Change, it's constant, and it's hard for them. It's real hard, it's real devastating, real quick, but they also bounce back really well.
So to open up God's word with them and show them the history of what God did for us in the past, and He's our creator, and show them the hope for the future that there's so much more to come past today, past tomorrow, and past this life.
Cadence Student Ministry is very good at sharing the gospel and sharing their lives.
Being able to go to youth group every week has really helped my faith grow.
Youth group is basically the thing that I look forward to in a week.
I accepted Christ for the first time in my life. I'm going to try to listen to Him. I'm going to talk to Christ more often and read the Bible.
This is what Jesus is doing all the time in military youth ministry.
Year after year after year after year after year in location after location after location.
The town that I grew up in a town of 20,000, I had a great youth group at my church. I could have gone a mile in any direction and then in a mile in any direction from one of those churches and found another really good youth group.
For the military kid, there is nothing else without what we do. Right now we have locations all over the world and in the United States where there are military kids and no youth worker. And we collectively turn away a dozen to 20 chaplains a year.
It really is, the need is great and the workers are few.
This is a people group that need to hear the gospel.
Faces are flashing through my mind, kid after kid after kid after kid, saying, we need you. You know, would you come?
Just like they've left America to go, they need someone who's willing to leave home and family and live in a different environment and to give them a hope and a future because of the gospel of Jesus.
Cadence Student Ministries is making a difference.
When I met Tyler and he shared with me about this ministry, that my heart was deeply moved, because I had worked for years at the Naval Weapons Station and saw those kids. To think there's children who I held before their fathers did. You know, they were born on base, your dad was on a ship. I've got pictures in my mind of kids that I taught to swim and just hung out with, just as, you know, recreation. I worked for special services there, taught swimming, taught, you know, marine water survival. And it was just, when he told me that, it's like, I had been there and I forgot about those kids like that, you know. Now, they had the fortune of being, you know, like in Concord at the weapons station. So there were churches that they could go to, but they didn't really come out. They did feel like a special, you know, as even they were kids, some of the kids were expressing, they felt like they had their own special problems that nobody really understood. And I have to say, I didn't really. I mean, I was, you know, one family, one church, you know, it was just all together. And so I am really excited about this. And you've got some friends that will share that passion about Okinawa too, that will be really cool. But I would love for us as a church to be able to help and support, to we help support the kids that did the 30-hour famine, but also to be able to help Tyler in this. I know that some of you probably will go away from, I hope you don't, I hope I'm going to dispel this. You would have a temptation to walk away from church this morning and go, oh, there was no message this morning. And I hope that you would see that that is so far from the truth. Me getting up and talking for 45 minutes is fine, you know, and I hope it's helpful sometimes. But watching people living out what I try to, you know, communicate every week is so incredibly valuable. We're asking ourselves these in this series, what does love require of me? Love is requiring that Tyler go and minister this way because God's grabbed his heart. For our teenagers, love was requiring that they would take this 30-hour fast and that they would really focus on that. You know, what is love requiring of you at work and in your neighborhood? You know, it's not, you may feel like, well, I don't really have anything to give up. Some of my friends have talked about, you know, giving up something for Lent. It's like I'm thinking, you know, Jesus, you didn't tell us to give up anything. He told us to, you know, take up our cross, shine our light, go out and give it away. Where the Old Testament model was, we go to God at a place. Now Jesus is saying it's all different. Now you're the light. You're the temple. You go get them. You go shine. They're not going to come to you. You go to them. And I just am so appreciative, you know, of those of you who are a great witness, a great testimony to people. What can you do? Chris talked about a couple weeks ago. One thing you can do is you can pray. All of us can pray. And you don't have to use Elizabethan English to pray. You know, those, right? That's where I was raised, you know, these and that. No, you can passionately pray and see what God wants to have you do. So when I took a small group of people, well, I say small, was from here, it was, what, 13, 14 of us went. We went to a conference. And one of the things that really hit all of us was the thing that transformed Annie Stanley's life was a question that Bill Hybels asked him one time and said, what, you know, does a great leader do? That's how it's his decision-making process. He said, ask this question, what does a great leader do? And then we were challenged to say, what does a great husband do? What's a great father do? What's a great mother do? What's a great church member do? What, you know, and so as we leave from here today, ask yourself, whatever you do, what does a great wife do? What does a great school teacher do? What does a great, you know, office worker do? What does a great, you know, personal trainer do? What is a great, whatever you do, you know, what, as a Christ follower, what does a great Christian do? God's got some incredible plans for us, and I'm really, really looking forward to it. You talked about giving up media. I want to encourage you to not give up media between now and Easter. In fact, I want to encourage you to use it to reach people. God has given us a way for us to reach people, and this week I'm going to be putting together an invite, you know, for Easter on Facebook. Now, some of you connect with Facebook or whatever, and you can share that, you could forward that, you could post it on your page. And It's free, right? You're on there too much anyway, right? So so you can share that and share with people and let them know. Take what God's given you in your hands. What does love require of you? And I'm really, really excited. Isn't it some exciting things today? It's challenging. And don't let their youth or their tallness throw you off. God can use all of us shrimpy people, you know, us older people. He could use all of us. And so I don't want any of us to miss that. So let's pray and thank God for this time together. And I'm so thankful for this time.